This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count on the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning with verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy goodness toward us. Thy goodness that led us to repentance. Thy goodness that follows us for all the days of our life. For thy mercies, Lord, that are new every morning, because great is thy faithfulness. For thy love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit who's been given unto us. How we thank thee for thy precious word. And the revelation of Christ out of thy word to our heart. Lord, thou art good to us. For thy word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway. And thou hast left thy word for us that we may follow after thee and know thee, whom to know is life eternal. And so we give thee thanks and give thee glory. Thou mayest deal with our hearts by thy Spirit even again today, and take thy word home to each and every heart. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me.
And how precious is the story of our Lord Jesus Christ to those who know Him and those who are seeking Him and desire Him because they find in Him great desirability. They need Him. And they must have Him, for without Him there is no salvation. He's a precious Lord. He's a gracious Redeemer. And my friend, I praise Him that He's mine. And I'm His. My beloved, and my beloved is mine. Do you know Him? We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Your letters again this week have blessed my heart. How many of you appreciate the Word coming into your home each week? And they encourage my heart to go on, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, waiting upon Him by His Spirit to work in each and every heart. And I praise the Lord that salvation is of our God. We can trust Him to do that which is needful in each and every heart. My friend, did you write for your free book that we are offering this month entitled The Suffering Savior? 53 chapters, meditations on the last days of Christ. These really are inexhaustible treasures of our Savior's suffering. And the author, F.W. Krumacher, divides it up into the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, showing our Lord's sufferings in those last hours as He gave His life for His people. This book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Ask for it by name, The Suffering Savior, Meditations on the Last Days of Christ. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We want to continue our messages today under the general theme, the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. In our previous messages, we showed you from God's Word that the Holy Spirit must work in our hearts the salvation that God gives to poor sinners. Because each one of us is totally depraved, dead in trespasses and sins, and each one of us lie buried in the grave of sin, held captive by Satan at his will, and therefore must of necessity be resurrected by a greater power than our own, and greater than Satan if we are to ever be saved. My dear friend, I praise the Lord that He has not left us to die in our sins. And I praise God that He didn't leave it up to our puny little free will either, but that He sent the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mind what I'm going to say now. If God in His sovereignty and in His grace and mercy had not sent the Holy Spirit, no man would ever be saved. The work of Christ would have been to no avail if it would have been left up to the free will of man to decide whether he was going to accept it or reject it. Every man would have rejected it apart from the sovereign, irresistible,
grace of the Holy Spirit in bringing us, convincing us of the righteousness and of judgment, and bringing each sinner back to God. For without His work in our hearts, we would lie dead, buried in sin, and would never move one inch toward the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Scriptures say that there is none that seeketh after God, there is none that desire Him, but praise His holy and righteous name, that the Holy Spirit makes us willing in the day of His power. Now the question is asked, what is the Holy Spirit's method of working in the hearts of His people who are sinners, dead in trespasses and sins? Dear friend, as we've showed you in the last message, He begins by convincing us of the awfulness of the sin of unbelief. And why? Because unbelief is the mother sin of them all. You see, this sin robs God of His glorious attributes. And it also robs Christ of His glory as Lord. In short, unbelief calls God a liar. And it says that it was certainly not needful for God to go to such lengths to save poor sinners by coming and dying in their place, for surely they're not as rotten in sin as the Word of God declares them to be. But my dear friend, you are wrong. This is just the reason why the Holy Spirit must do His work of regeneration in our hearts, or we would all be for eternally lost. Are you listening? There is another facet of this sin of unbelief that has been upon my heart to bring before you today, and it is this. Unbelief denies the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He denies His deity. He denies His place in the Godhead as the eternal Son of God. He denies His authority to rule over you, and therefore blinds you to the eternal fact that God's Word declares that God has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Now, my dear friend, this is where the work of the Holy Spirit comes in. You see, we read in 1 Corinthians 12:3 these startling words that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You see, this truth of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, His authority over every man, is learned, understood, and appreciated as a result of the ministry of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone who is able to interpret to our souls the deep conviction of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that it is easy for anyone and anybody to say, He is my Lord, but is it true? Do we know it in reality? Well, we must remember our Lord's words in Matthew 7. For He said, many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You see, we can take His name and profess the fact that He is Lord and sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. But is this the sign that He is Lord? Oh no, my friend, it must be the conviction of our heart that shows in our lives that He is Lord, that He is Lord alone. It must show in our lives of obedience that we have indeed learned by the Holy Spirit that He is Lord and bowed to the name of Jesus and crowned Him Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now I want you to listen to what God's Word says about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Listen to Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God, who has also highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things under the earth, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, this is God's purpose. This is God's plan. This has been decreed in God's eternal counsel. And he worketh everything after the counsel of his own will. And it is this, that in Jesus Christ all things shall consist. That in him would dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore this bowing of the knee, this confessing with the tongue, to the authority of Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory, will be performed by everyone, either in grace or in judgment, either in time or in eternity. My friend, I did not say this. God said it. I was sent only to proclaim it. I know that it is true because I've experienced it in my own soul. By the grace of God and under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, I bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. I bow to his authority to rule over me, for me to become his bondslave. For I knew that there could be no salvation in his saviorship if I did not bow to his lordship. The Holy Spirit taught me of this under conviction. He convinced me of the rebellion and pride of my heart against God and his Christ. I learned that every soul whom God saves learns that the saviorship of Christ is hid in his lordship. We cannot have one without the other. And I know another thing. I must daily, as his child, continually bow to him as Lord. I must bow to the authority of his word, for he is Lord indeed of my life. So, brethren, it's false. I don't care how much you connect it with the name of Christianity and say you are preaching the whole counsel of God. It is false when you say that a man does not have to bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ to get saved. My friend, that's false. It's out of hell, born in hell. It's a deceiving gospel, which is not a gospel. It's that easy, free believingism that we have today. Every man whom God ever saves bows to the authority of Christ as Lord, or he'll never know him as Savior. And if you do not bow to him as Lord in this life, you will bow to him in that day when he will be your judge. Oh, my friend, I say this in love, but I say it in sincerity. This is God's word, and I've been sent to declare it today. You see, my dear friend, one other thing we must learn and understand. And I know that this is taught us only by the Holy Spirit, and it is this. God's salvation is wholly and completely of grace. Are you listening to me? God does not owe you or me anything. What he does for us comes out of a heart of love and mercy, and is given to us freely in Christ Jesus based on his graciousness, and certainly not on anything that he sees in us. Let me state it again. There is nothing in us that commends us to God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All that God sees in us is sin. That's all. For he said the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and see God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, according to Psalms 14, 2 and 3. Therefore, since we have no claims upon him, for he sits as sovereign upon the throne, then he and he alone dictates the terms of salvation. And these are plainly given unto us in his precious word. He commands men everywhere to repent. In repentance there is the laying down of our arms of rebellion and the hoisting of the white flag of surrender under the authority of Jesus Christ, listen to me now, to rule over us, govern us, and lead us from now throughout eternity. We cry like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And when he cried this, it was speedily shown him by the Holy Spirit what he had to do. Hear his own words in Philippians 3:7. He said, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yes, nothing was gained to the Apostle Paul now. The only thing that mattered was to know Christ. This is what he tells us in that 8th verse. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said he wanted Christ as his Lord more than he wanted anything in the world. He went further and said, for his sake I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish in order that I may crown Jesus Christ as my Lord, the Lord of my life. And do you know what reason he did this for? First of all, he had seen in the Lord Jesus Christ a righteousness, a preciousness surpassing anything that he had never known. And then second, he wanted to be found and known as being in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that could be called his own, but that he might possess that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that every man must possess to enter heaven. He cried, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then the answer came back, down at the feet of Christ. Let all that you have go, give it up in your heart. Count it as dung, and take up your cross and follow me. And this he did, and so does everyone whom God saves. My friend, if you bow to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when you said that God saved you, was it a mental profession that you made, a mental decision that you gave as you walked down the aisle and give the preacher your hand, or did you have a Pauline conversion? Did I hear you right, Pastor? You're asking me, did I have a Pauline conversion? I say yes. Every soul whom God saves has a Pauline conversion. Listen to 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You might ask, in what way do we have a Pauline conversion? We are first stopped by the Holy Spirit, as he was on the road to Damascus, and we are convinced of our sin of unbelief, that we have not believed on Christ by bowing the whole man to the whole Christ in repentance and crowning him Lord. Second, we have a Pauline conversion by renouncing our own righteousness, which is nothing but filthy rags, in the sight of God. We have renounced our own doings as grounds of acceptance before God. And then third, it is by bowing our knees in humble confession before God, the Lordship of Jesus Christ whom he had been sent, and acknowledging him as Lord of our life and crowning him as Lord as our life. And my dear friend, whether it be long Holy Spirit conviction or short, whether it come like a hurricane wind or a variable breeze, each soul whom God saves must be dealt with in the same things and in the same manner that the Apostle Paul was convinced of, and that is, the Holy Spirit must convince him of sin, that he has no righteousness that God will accept. My friend, and now I trust that you begin to see that you are to bow the whole man to the whole Christ. And this must be done with the power of one who is greater than yourself, because by yourself you will never yield yourself up in obedience and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I say it again, because it is the Word of God, and because I've experienced it in my own soul. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. I'm often asked the question, Pastor, why do you preach like this? Because the Bible tells me to. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:7, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, Therefore all men must be called to submission to him. For he will one day sit as judge who is now Lord and Savior. My dear friend, I would be a traitor to your soul if I did not tell you that one day you are going to have to bow to him as Lord, for he is Lord both of the living and the dead. There is so much preaching today that calls a man only to believe, only to believe. Men are told to trust Jesus to take them to heaven when they die, who are nevertheless living in the practice of sin and in rebellion against God and his laws. They neither yield to his authority, acknowledge his lordship, nor walk in his obedience. Yet you are encouraged to hope for salvation. But my friend, no salvation is taught in God's word. Christ cannot save us in our sins, but from our sins. He came not to give us a little conscience ease so that we could go on living as we please, but to deliver us from the power and dominion of sin and set us free. This is the reason I preach as I do. For it takes the power of God to save a sinner. You can't save yourself. You can't just will it done and it's done. God must make you willing in the day of his power. And this he does for us by his Holy Spirit, who works his salvation in us. This then is what the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces us of our need to bow to the authority of Christ and crown him King of our lives. But oh, what blessedness and mercy it is to so fall at his feet and crown him Lord, to bow to his authority. What joy and peace there is in believing him as the Savior of my never-dying soul. To rest in his unchanging love. To know that he cares for me. To know that he loves me, watches over me, knows my down-sittings and uprisings. And praise God, he understands my thoughts afar off. My dear friend, to know him as the lifter up of my head, the counselor for every problem, the deliverer in all phases of my life, to know him as the lover of my soul on whose bosom I can rest and pour out my soul every hour. I tell you, this is grace. To know the one who listens to all I have to say and tells me from his word that he is making all things work for my good. That's my Lord. That's the one to whom I have bowed, and I praise him for it. Yes, to know him as Lord. To obey him as King is truly heaven on earth. For in him I live and move and have my being. And in him I have all things. And I give glory this day to his holy name. Do you know him? Have you bowed to his authority? No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And I praise God that he has sent the third person of the Trinity to reveal these truths unto our hearts. And may, by his sovereign grace, he work in your hearts these things this day, is our cry. You want to write us and ask for your free book, The Suffering Servant, and get a copy of these messages to read there in your own home. Write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.